At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass Sunday interview number two. So it's going to be a busy schedule here today. And I'm Matthew Nichol, and joining me today from the men's basketball team, senior guard Colton Gillingham. So, Colton, thanks for squeezing me in here on Sunday.
Yeah, of course. You know, I get a lot of time on some of these weekends, so you're really doing me a favor, giving me something to do here.
Good. Well, I mean, you alluded, you know, right before we jumped on here, but, you know, I'm going to take care of your house there. I mean, you, Mikey, and Caden here on Tuesday. So, like I said, had we known that, I could have done a nice little roundtable house interview there. So, let's just get started here. So, J-term finished this week. You know, how's that, you know, kind of nice break been? I mean, you had the game yesterday and the game, you know, Milliken on Saturday. So it's kind of nice to have a little downtime in between those, I'd imagine.
Yeah, we got a little off, or I guess like a bye this week too on Wednesday. So we kind of have some more time here. Kind of convenient falling on the break, you know, and get to enjoy the time a little bit. But we'll stay busy. We'll be doing stuff with basketball throughout the week, and the guys will be hanging out, so that's all good. And J-term, of course, went well. Having that little bit of a break between the January and February is just kind of nice, too. It just gives you another little time to reset, you know, chunk up the year a little more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about yesterday because, you know, the North Central game was awesome. Obviously, it was a nice double win, both men's and women's, you know, took care of business at home. So really just kind of a repayment to what they did, you know, earlier in the year. But generally, I mean, what was your kind of thoughts on the game yesterday?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, actually. I think I heard this before the game. I don't know if this is a true stat, but both the women's and the girls had like the same exact record in the conference against each other going into that game, which was kind of, you know, a weird little convenient thing to happen. But thoughts on the game? I think it was one that we definitely wanted to win. We really wanted to get that one back, especially with how it went down at their place. So it was, you know, it was kind of one that we had circled on the calendar. And we knew with us being tied in the conference that it was going to be an important game down the line. I think it's kind of important for as a team to like really realize that like these games earlier in the year or even like now are just as important, if not more important, than the games at the end of the year when, you know, it's times like push comes shove and you got to win a game. It can make it a lot easier to be kind of in control of your own destiny and your own success if you take care of business earlier on in the year. So it was definitely an important game. We were highly anticipated, and we knew we were capable of competing and beating them. And that's, you know, what we were able to do last night. So,
yeah, I mean, a few things, you know, looking at that, obviously the bench, you know, was huge, you know, outscoring the Cardinals 29-15. Game felt very physical, you know, there as well. And, you know, went into, you know, extra time, which, you know, me and my son, we had to leave a little early and go to a birthday party. So we had to watch that, you know, I was listening to it in the car, and then we were over at, the Skate City, whatever it is, over in East Moline for like a 10-year-old birthday party. And, you know, so I'm kind of over in the corner watching that, you know, on my iPhone there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, bench points was a big win last night. And obviously rebounds, you know, a nice plus six, a lot of that, you know, on the offensive side. How did the rotation feel? I talking with Mikey just a little bit before this, we were talking about just the rotations and how it's a lot of times is really, you know, dependent on who the opponent is. But, you know, that seemed to be a pretty important aspect coming off the bench and getting 29 points from him. That's pretty huge. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, rotation is kind of unique. It's a little different from most colleges where we play a lot of guys. And I think that's a strength we have as a team is the fact that we're able to play, you know, 10 to 12 even, like, legit college players. Like, not a lot of programs have that ability. So, you know, the bench is always, the rotation is always kind of fluid. It's always a movement. And it's really just important about, like, the communication between the players and the coaching staff. So, like, you know, the players just have the expectations of what's to come, and you're not always caught off guard. Those are kind of, I think, one of the more important balances you have just throughout a year on a team with this that has this much depth in a roster. But like, for like, as of last night, the bench points, it always helps, especially like when you know, like, some of the other teams, like, main guys, and you're like, all right, if we can just limit those main guys, you know, that's what their team is thinking as well for us. So when you are able to get a little more production from the bench, it makes it a lot harder to guard, a lot harder to scout, and a lot harder just for them to, like, game plan around, all right, who are we going to do? If you have to, you know, remember all 10 guys and their tendencies and what they're doing from the other team, that's a lot harder task to guard than if you only have to remember, like, they're going to just run a pick and roll between their point guard and their big man, and that's all they really want to do. So bench production is always very important in that aspect, just making it harder to guard and making it harder for teams to game plan against you.
You know, you're a strong player. I mean, you started yesterday, and but, you know, you kind of rotate starting and coming off the bench, and you know, again, that kind of role player. I mean, where do you see and how do you kind of see yourself just in the Viking offense? Like, what kind of role do you play?
Well, like, personally, I definitely try to be a very big, like, energy guy, someone who's going to be able to let some our defense dictate his offense, get some easy layups and stuff, you know, hit kick out threes when they come, but really trying to be, try to get a lot of paint touches is, I think, really important for our team. Sometimes we can get a little stagnant trying to play around the perimeter. And if you can really get into the paint and then kick it out, those are some of the easiest shots to make in the game. Those are, you know, the ones that everyone works on. You can get hundreds of shots up a day. So those are the easiest ones. And I think that's kind of what I try to do offensively for sure. But I think it's more so that energy, that anticipation, that intensity that I try to bring to try to be a little more consistent with the team.
Mm-hmm. Where's your favorite spot on the court to shoot from? I feel like I see you take a lot of, like, baseline jumpers. And I don't know if that's just because you feel comfortable in that area or if it's just, where your role is in the offense. I mean, where's your kind of your favorite spot?
I think probably my favorite, like, spot to take a jump shot would be, like, a wing three. But I find myself on the baseline a lot just in our offense, trying to, like, cut out of the corners, out of drives in the middle and stuff. I know, like, last night Mikey had it in the paint a couple times, and I was, you know, cutting, trying to sneak behind my guy, see if I get a layup, and, you know, they jump back and I can just kind of step back for a little easy mid-range jumper on the baseline. And that's kind of what happened last night. But I think it's more so I find myself in that area more often than, like, do I really prefer it? But it's another shot that I work on a lot, just, you know, with the one dribble pull up, or I don't, you know, it's usually a warm-up shot for the catch and shoot. You're not usually getting too many catch and shoot mid-range jumpers in a college game, but when they come, you always appreciate them because that's an easier one to make.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you lost your footing there on one of the breaks, and you were well positioned, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, you kind of lost your footing and skated across the court there. I mean, did you notice anything specifically about the floor, you know, being a little bit slippery? You know, the women's game had talked a little bit about it. They had a couple of stoppages and, you know, wiped down areas kind of at the floor. Did you notice anything as well with, like, the footing on the floor there?
Yeah, nothing, like, specific, like the floor was dusty today or whatever. But I remember, like, I could tell there was something going on in the women's game. When we came out and warmed up under our hoop, there was a little spot where it was still kind of, like, felt greasy or, like, oily that, you know, we wiped up. As for like what happened with me out there, I was just kind of running and trying to get to that spot as fast as possible, knowing like, okay, I gotta cover up for this. Yeah, I ran back to the wrong man, and I just slipped, which is real weird. It's odd because I usually don't have that problem, and those shoes specifically that I was wearing, those are usually just like my game day shoes. But yeah, I definitely just, I planted and slid, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, how is this happening? And it happened right when I got in too. I just like almost fell on like just sitting in a gap position guarding my man. And it was like, okay, what's happening here? But it didn't feel real, you know, like slick or dusty. That's why I was like, this is kind of strange. I don't know. I feel like I maybe need to double sock in my shoes or something so I can have a little more, my foot's not moving around in the shoe as much or something like that. But yeah.
So you mentioned game day shoes. Is that different than, like, is it the same style of shoe that you practice in and it's just a newer pair, or what's the difference between your practice and game day ones?
So I have like these, I go through shoes very quick. I want to say I'm one of the worst on the team, or just like how fast I'll like start tearing through shoes. It works out because I can take advantage of a little like Nike warranty plan that I can kind of get some refunds on. But I just recently got like a two new pairs of shoes, and one that I was just using for practices and stuff. And those are usually ones that I'm like, they're just not as great in traction and stuff. You know, I don't feel like my best in them. And then my game day shoes are one that I feel like pretty confident in. I know how they're going to play and things like that. But I try to separate like how often I'm wearing one shoe versus the other to try to make them last a little longer. And then also the game day shoes are just kind of better colorway with what we wear. They're navy and they're simple, a little yellow or gold on them versus like a light blue that I have in some Zions. So I just feel like the game day shoes go a little better with what we're wearing that day.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I see the Colorado flag, you know, behind you. I actually have a big wooden Colorado sign that I made, wooden flag that I made for our house here. It's like, I don't know, 6x3 or 6x4. It's huge. Cause after I graduated from Augie, I went and spent, you know, just shy of 8 years, you know, up and down the front range from Denver to Fort Collins. And so I was, you know, you being from Greeley, kind of the northeast side there, east of Fort Collins, you know, I was taking a look at some of the things you did in high school. I mean, you had a school record of 47 and 47 points, and you had a nice stretch where you're dropping 40, 39, 38, you know, over the course of like a couple months. And, you know, so I think a little bit back to like, you know, your 4 years, you know, there back to your senior year in high school, like how did a kid from, you know, Greeley, Colorado end up at Augustana? Like, what was that journey like?
Yeah, it was interesting. Greeley doesn't have a lot of, I want to say like just, I guess, college exposure. We don't have like a whole bunch of AAU teams playing in Greeley. So I always travel a little bit more to Denver and just, you know, suburbs around there and stuff. But I got invited to like some like underground tournament thing where it was just kind of like an invite only, like open gym basically. And the guy who's running it said that like he knew somebody from Augustana. And so he reached out to the head coach at the time, Schaefer. I was like, hey, got this kid down here. I think you guys would really like him. You know, there was that. And then I got, you know, a message from Augustana where they kind of reached out to me. And I was like, yeah, like I'm interested. My brother had played, I guess at the time he was still playing college basketball, and he knew the program and where it was, you know, in the last decade and how, you know, successful it's been. And he's like, yeah, definitely like look into this. This is a good, you know, school. And so I looked into him, and, you know, the recruiting process kind of just took place from there. And I know they came down a couple of times to watch me play and recruit some other guys in the area, but really that one person who I didn't know too well, but he just kind of felt like, hey, Augustana would like a kid like this. And thankfully he reached out, and that kind of got me out here from Colorado.
I like it. Yeah. I mean, you've got, you know, Northern Colorado right there in your backyard, and Colorado State, you know, the town over. And, you know, did you ever, you know, when you were doing your kind of college search, I mean, what did you ever look to stay kind of in the Colorado area, or?
I for the most part knew I was a, you know, Division III NAIA level player. You know, I was hopeful that maybe a D2 I could potentially talk to or something like that. But I know Colorado has only one Division III school in there. And NAIA is, you know, surrounding states. My brother played in Nebraska, so I wasn't like afraid of really leaving home or anything, but I just knew I didn't want to go to like the East Coast or go super far. You know, I still wanted to be in somewhat close distance. So I knew that was kind of where I was going to be recruited by. That's kind of how it ended up playing out too. So yeah, that's what I expected. I always had dreamed of playing at UNC, you know, the D1 as a kid. But I knew I wanted to go to a place really where like winning was a very high value, high importance. Especially with just how my high school career went. And my brother was on a really winning team. And he told me that, like, you know, it's something you definitely want to experience. So in my search, I was looking for a well valued program that had, you know, a lot of success and accolades that were in a place that I could really contribute to. So.
Yeah, it was interesting when I lived out there. Augie did a ton of recruiting out there. You know, so, you know, whenever I could, I would go to, you know, an alumni event. You know, they would invite them if they were hosting, you know, recruits down, you know, somewhere down in Denver. So Augie was constantly out there. Now, did you grow up in Greeley, like in the town, or were you kind of on the outskirts, you know, on a few acres?
I grew up in Greeley. I was the only one of my family born there and raised. But since, yeah, I was born, I was there until college. We finally kind of stuck there. My siblings both were born in different states, moving around and stuff. But we finally kind of found Greeley as a home. And so I've been there my whole life until college.
Did you venture more out to like Fort Collins or down to Denver? I mean, what'd you do kind of growing up, and how'd you buy your time? Did you stick in that area or kind of head down south
a little bit? Yeah, I definitely, a lot of time was spent obviously on the weekends traveling for, you know, just tournaments and stuff. And that would be going to Fort Collins. The closest would be Windsor, but down to Denver, Golden, Colorado, you know, Aurora, Longmont, you know, we traveled kind of all over the place, just in Colorado. But I spent a lot of time traveling over to some of those other cities and actually getting to know them and those kind of things. But like, I guess with me and my buddies, like in high school, we usually stayed within the town. We weren't driving far to go, you know, hang out with people. I always kind of had a closer and smaller group of friends that we just kind of hung out there. We didn't really know very many people from, you know, Denver schools or Fort Collins schools, and a little bit from Windsor and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we didn't travel too far for just like recreational stuff.
Now, after graduation, have you thought much about, you know, kind of heading back to the Colorado area?
I have thought about it. That's where I would like to go. My family's there, my girlfriend's family's there in Greeley. So I would like to go there, but I'm not, you know, fully sold on it. I'm kind of wherever I can get a good job or a place that's going to set me up for success in my future is obviously the number one priority, but I'll be looking, you know, for opportunities around there, things like that. But that's kind of my number one priority. If everything works out perfectly, I get to go back home and, you know, hopefully contribute to that community as well. But if not, that's fine with me too. And just kind of finding a place where I can be successful in my future is definitely the most important for me.
Yeah. Man, it's so expensive in Denver. My Lord, it's ridiculous. That's what I
live in Denver or in like Chicago, any big city. I'm not a huge city person. I can do a bigger place. Greeley's not a small place, but it's even getting a little, you know, it's gotten a lot bigger since I was growing up there and where it's at now. But I'm definitely not a big city guy. Denver's way too expensive. Colorado in general is just expensive, and that's the downside, you know.
It is. I was just back there this past spring for one of my best friends for his wedding. You know, he and I lived together you know, for gosh, 6 of the 7.5 years I was out there. And you know, where we were at, we were right off of 36 and E470 that goes up to Boulder. And it used to be, it was just our like apartment complex was the only thing there, within, couldn't see anything around it. It was up by like Superior essentially in Louisville area. And, I ended up staying in Interlochen when I went back out there, and it looked completely different. Like there's BMW dealers, there's all kinds of stuff around this area. I mean, it looked legitimately, I couldn't even recognize the area. So it's just nuts how much it's really changed. But I'm sitting there like, gosh, I've actually been back from Colorado longer than I was there. So I don't know if I can really say like, I spent a bunch of time in Colorado now. I'm like, well, I'm back to being a true Iowan. But nonetheless,
like that every time you go home, there's a new apartment built up or a new, big store or a dealership. And it's like, I've not even gone for that long. It's a couple months at a time, but I come back and it's like, oh, there's something new. It's a very fast growing state and all, and especially in Greeley, I know it's growing quickly. So
100%. Well, hey, let's talk about the season. So, Vikings are 12-8, 5 games left in the season, kind of the final home stretch here. What's your just general thoughts on the season, so far and how it's been going?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's been more consistent than last season, I guess is a good way to put it, so that's been helpful. And then you just being your senior year and having 7-8 guys that are seniors on the team makes it a little more like important. It's a little bittersweet, you're excited for it. You want to play it, but it's coming to an end soon. So just knowing the importance of every game and really trying to live in the moment, enjoy it, have the memories you can create, and kind of just hold on to those without being too much like, so stuck in the moment where you're not, worried about your future or not preparing, So those are all kind of in balance that you're working with. But this year, I think is went pretty well. I mean, we had a pretty solid out of conference record this year. We've lost the 2 ranked teams, which were good challenges and things like that. Had a couple of tough losses in conference that we, as a team, it felt like we could have really beat that and cemented ourselves as, even higher seed or top dogs in the CCIW. And then losing some of those close ones, like against Carthage. And luckily we were able to get North Park at home, trying to, win some of those ones that are going to, be important down the line. But as for the last, 5 games of the year, it's just kind of focus. What's our next opponent? How are we going to beat them? That's the most important game that we have. And as long as we take care of business, one day at a time, every day, step in and make sure we're taking care of business that day and not have holding on to what we've done in the past, always being prepared and ready to just be ready to compete and give your best effort against any team that's ahead of you. I know we have quite a few games that we're all very confident we can win and kind of make some separation in the standings. And hopefully at the end of this, we'll be able to host a CCIW game and keep the season going a little longer than, the last 5 guaranteed games that we have.
Yeah. Now you mentioned like, feels like this year's been a little bit more consistent. In what ways do you feel like it's been more consistent?
The whole coaching change that we had last year and just all that stuff going on was definitely, it was a big change in the middle of the season that you had to kind of go through. It was, you're facing a little adversity, you're losing games you feel like you should have won. And, it just makes it all harder. It makes everything feel like it's such a way a bigger deal when, things feel like they're going around or going down. So this year, just having more of that stability of what's going to happen, what's to come, kind of how I alluded to earlier in the year, just with how deep we are, having that that communication early on of what to expect and kind of where you are on the team and where other guys are on the team are all important while still trying to stay as competitive as possible and understanding that, like, someone is going to compete and play better. Like that's good. It's a healthy competition to have in a college program for sure. So, and consistency in that manner, I think is just that communication, that knowing what's expected of you and that stability that we've had this year.
Well, I think you mentioned communication a few times. It definitely seems like, and this is just outside looking in, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like, you know, the Delp-led team kind of era, the communication seems to be much stronger, especially in game. And it feels like the team is certainly more understanding and aligned to what you're trying to accomplish. Whereas I would say the previous year felt a little disheveled at times. And, you know, there's seemed like there was a dip or a lack in communication at time between, you know, the coaching staff and what was going on the floor. I mean, that would that be somewhat of an accurate kind of representation, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can definitely see that kind of perspective from looking in from the outside, especially. There's a little more just like the players understand what's expected of them, what's wanted of them, you know. I think that's probably the most important thing. Whereas, like, you know, last year, I feel like guys sometimes were hesitant to know what they were wanting to do, or, you know, do I really want to do this, or is this really what the team needs me to do? And, you know, in this play, and if you're thinking about that, that's kind of, you know, you're already a step behind. So just kind of this year, that communication, but it's that early beforehand of like, this is what we want you to do. That's important for us. And I think it's definitely given a lot of guys some more confidence and help them be able to play a little less, you know, with not as much going on in their mind. They're not double, you know, they're not thinking as much. And I think that makes their lives a little simpler and makes it easier to try to, you know, do your job that you're attempting to do every night. So.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, as you're prepping for the game, you know, once you get up, do you have any kind of game day habits or rituals that you, you know, something you eat, something you listen to, how you warm up?
Nothing specific. I'm not super, I guess, habitual in like my game day. I would say probably my most important thing is like if I have a game the next day, I'm making sure I'm actually getting, you know, good sleep. I'm able to get my 8 hours, and, you know, sleep is usually my number one priority. I'm not a big nap before the game kind of guy. I'm not a big, like, I need to, you know, eat this specific meal. I know some guys love to go and like eat Jimmy John's for a little bit or Arthur's or stuff like that. I'm not super habitual in that sense. But we always have our game day our game day practice. And that's probably somewhere where I try to, on game days, I try to bring a lot more energy just in those days. We always do like a little competition among the team, and it's really like it's like a simple shooting competition between two teams, but I always make sure I'm trying to bring as much energy as possible. Usually the team who has more energy, who's more just like excited, wins, you know? So I always kind of take some pride in trying to win those and going back to back on certain game days. And we get a little belt at the end that we all get to go excited for the winning team, and sucks when you lose. But I would say that practice is probably where I have my most habitual moments, just trying to have a lot of energy, get guys up, ready to go, you know, prepared for the game. And if you just kind of can start off the day with a win there, just that excitement of a good, you know, hour long practice, it just helps you go into the game with a little more energy, a little more confidence, a little more of just, all right, this is, you know, this is the attitude, this is the mentality we're setting for the day.
Yeah. Now, what about, it made me think of something when I was talking to Sean. He was a big fan of it at halftime, the Rice Krispie treats. Are you a Rice Krispie treat halftime fan as well?
I'm not a huge Rice Krispie treat. We did have these granola bars, these honey and oats granola bars for a little bit that I would kind of partake in occasionally. But recently it's been gummy bears. We've added gummy bears in the mix instead of the granola bars. And some guys really like that. But it's funny you bring that up, because I know Sean's a big Rice Krispie treat guy. When one day when they weren't there, he came in halftime, he's like, where are the Rice Krispie? Like, come on, I need those. Like, where are they at? And I remember kind of joking with him about that. Like, it's definitely, you know, it's something nice to have. Some guys, you know, if that's what they want to kind of, I guess, hang their hat on, or, you know, say like, oh, this is like going to help me out, then that's, you know, it's fine. We should have them for them and let them, you know, use that for some extra motivation or just the right mentality, mind space that they need to be in. So,
yeah, it's, I mean, it's total like a creature of habit. And, you know, it's funny because me and my son, you know, we make a majority of the home games, and we always try to sit in the same spot, first, second row right there at half court. And my son always, gets Sour Patch Kids, and like the officials have picked up on it. So anytime he doesn't have one, they're always like, no Sour Patch Kids, And so he's like, Dad, can I go get some? I haven't got some yet. I'm like, yes, go ahead, bud.
We go on a run. We're like, all right, where was everybody sitting? Go back to your spot. Like after a timeout, we're like, make sure you go back to your spot. If we're, not doing it, the other team goes on a run, we're like, all right, we got to switch this up, guys. Like we can't be having the same thing, whatever it's going to take to help us in the moment. We're going to be willing to do.
Yeah. I love it. Now growing up in Colorado, did you have a favorite player or team? Did you follow the Nuggets, or were there other teams that you like to follow?
Yeah, I'm a big Denver Nuggets fan. All my team, I think I'm the only Nuggets fan on the team at this point, and they all hate the Nuggets because of me. But we have a lot of Lakers fans on the team, and they've had some battles in the playoffs, and that always makes it just a little more interesting, a little more fun talking crap to each other. But yeah, I've always been a big Nuggets fan. As for players, though, I always really liked like Kyrie growing up. When I got a little older, I was a big Devin Booker fan and kind of liked the Suns. So those have been my guys. But obviously, I'm a big Jokic and Jamal Murray fan as well. Nuggets would probably be my primary. I'm not a huge college basketball follower. Not really a big like even professional sports. So I don't watch much football. I've just kind of really locked in on the NBA and the Nuggets especially.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool when I was out there, a buddy of mine, Adam, he was super close with Chauncey Billups. So that's actually kind of how I started watching the Nuggets a little bit. And but it's such a cool area to be in. It's like it's hard not to root for the Nuggets. It's hard not to not root for the Broncos. Even the Rapids, it was, my buddy came out right after I moved there, just kind of on the spur. And we said, hey, let's go find something to do. And it was like a Saturday or Sunday. And we ended up getting tickets to, it was like the first year the Colorado Rapids were there, or maybe the second year, and they were hosting the LA Galaxy. And, David Beckham was there, and it was like for $20, got to see David Beckham play. And yeah, I've seen like Tim Duncan play there. LeBron in his earlier days. So it's a cool town. It's kind of a cool area. Big sports town for sure.
It is. And for me, it's not, super out of the way to go to Denver and catch a game. It's not like, you make a night out of it, but it's not a whole process. I gotta, find a hotel or something down there. I can make an hour drive there and an hour drive back, and that's really not too bad. So,
no, not at all. When I moved there, right after 2 years after I graduated from Augie, I lived right downtown on like 13th and Spear, and I moved there in June of 2007, and it was nothing. That it was like, all right, it's a 15-minute walk to, to go see the Rockies. And it's like, oh, go get a rock pile ticket for like $10. And that first year, I think it was something like 37 games. And that's 36 more games I've been doing in my life to a baseball game. Cause it's obviously, it's 3.5 hours to get to anywhere from the Quad Cities. So, super cool town, super cool town. I asked your roommate this, and so I'm curious on what your response is, but what's something surprising about you that maybe most people wouldn't expect?
I don't know if any of the guys know this, actually. I know how to play piano. When I was a kid, I took some piano lessons, and I actually know how to play piano, and I don't know if any of the guys on the team know that about me. And that might be one of the few things that they've never actually heard.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. I like it. You don't have one, or I'm assuming then like a digital keyboard or anything with you?
No, I don't have anything near me. I don't, I know how to read the music. I mean, at a very basic level at this point. But like if I was at the, if I had to sit down and had some, you know, beginner, I'm sure intro book, I could play a simple song for someone if I had to.
Well, the beginning of the season, like talent night, I mean, feels like there's a big missed opportunity there.
There might have been. I know. We would have to wheel a whole piano out there and I could have played Yankee Doodle for the crowd and
it yeah. would have
been electric, sure, but
senior night halftime show sponsored right. by Colton Gillingham.
that would take some time. You'd have to get every senior out there to do something.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Now academically, you know, have a marketing major, minor in data analytics. I mean, what kind of interested you in that track?
Yeah, I came in actually as a computer science major. That was my idea, as what I wanted to do. And that was really just fueled by, I really like technology. I've always kind of been one of the tech guys on the team and just around the house, you know, back home, and just like, oh, you know, I knew the settings on the Apple, or I would like to take things apart and kind of figure out how they work, you know, fix the light bulb or whatever the manner was. I was always kind of like a hands-on. I like to kind of try to fix things, and technology was just kind of something I found interesting, you know, like computers mm-hmm. and what was the newest tech gear coming out or whatever. I always kind of followed that. So when I came to Augie, I was like, if I could do something to do with technology, like, I think that's something interesting that I would like. And really the only major I came to is computer science. And then I went to my first computer science class and I was like, this isn't technology, this is coding. And yeah. I was like, that's not what I wanted to do. And so that I made a little bit of a change, and I found that marketing was kind of interesting, especially like the strategy side of marketing. I like to play, you know, strategy games, and just, I've always been a bit of an overthinker and like to think through problems. And so I've always liked strategy games like chess and, you know, all this stuff. So the strategy side of marketing almost felt like you're playing a game in the business world. Like, how could it be, you know, a competition, and you're always competing. And I really liked that. So I thought, okay, well, I'll do a marketing major. And then I had already taken some data classes and realized I could get a data analytics minor and still maybe evolve that somehow through technology. And so I decided, you know, to declare the minor there too. And I only have one more class I got to complete to get that minor. And then I'll have hit both of my qualifications for those. But it was really that strategy side that kind of drew me into the marketing realm. And for the data analytics, it was just that I have a little bit of a passion for just the new technology and the new gear that is always coming out, you know.
100%. Well, I mean, I'm in, you know, talent acquisition, and 18 months ago, if you asked me if I would be a Power BI developer within our data science team, you know, at my company, I'd have said what? But it's super cool. I mean, just the, you know, the expansion of, you know, within, and I'm just in manufacturing, you know, but it's huge across the board. So, I mean, you know, everything now is in the cloud, and it's, you know, what can we do within Power BI, and what can we do, and looking at these different trends, and just, you know, trying to formulate different stories from, you know, from data, and creating a lot of those relationships. So now when you were, in your J term class, cause you were a part of the group, if I remember correctly, that did, the 3D printed bicycles.
Yeah. It was our business simulation class. It was our senior in Corey J term. Yeah.
What, so how did, like, what was kind of your role on that team with like the marketing background?
Yeah. So there was six different things that were like a focus in the simulation. It was like, you had your CEO, you had your head marketing, your head manufacturing, head sales, your head accountant. And then it was like environmental or like community based one. And so I was like the head marketing and like sales. And then my other teammate, Evan, was the CEO and manufacturing. And then Mikey was the like accountant and like the community stuff. And so I did all like the marketing stuff, kind of created ads for our bikes and, you know, this little simulation, and said like, chose where to put the ads, where they were going to get the most outreach. And then I did a little bit in on the like creation of our actual bikes. And then there was like a whole online marketing section. The marketing really had quite a bit. There was like R&D. There was some data to look at, which usually Mikey would help me out with if there was a lot going on, just kind of looking at the data and what was most important and things like that. So I was really kind of focused on more of the advertising and where to place them. And then like the bike design review or rating that we got, or ad ratings we got, looking at some of the other teams and seeing what they did. And then if they ever did better than us, it was how could we mimic this and then improve. But that only really happened, I think, one quarter in our simulation where I was actually able to learn from the other teams.
So what was the, you know, the value proposition of your bike? I mean, what made it special and kind of unique versus others in the market? Sell me on your bike.
Well, the whole simulation, we all were making 3D printed bikes, like 3D printed carbon fiber bikes. Basically, our strategy as a company was we had done a lot of early investment into manufacturing and our ability to like produce more than the other teams. And we actually kind of crippled ourselves in one of the quarters by not operating at full capacity, even though we had like more fixed capacity than everyone else. And so what we kind of learned was like, all right, our biggest strategy here, we're going to be able to operate at the highest and produce the most bikes. And through economies of scale, that made each bike we were producing cheaper and our revenue, you know, just more for each bike. And then we also produced more bikes than every other team. And then when we found out that our speed bike is what it was called, or that was a segment, our speed bike was doing really good. We were higher than everyone else and they were the least price elastic. So we decided like, all right, we can raise the price on that one, produce a lot of it to make it a lot cheaper. And then just make sure we have the best, like newest research and development on it. So we really just kind of stayed ahead there, but our biggest strategy was definitely our ability to produce and being in all the markets as early as possible. And it was like four different places in the world we were selling bikes. And that's really where we took advantage of the other teams. And then we started spending a lot more on marketing once we saw the benefits and revenue that we were able to throw out there.
I like it. Have you had a chance to do any internships? I took a peek at your LinkedIn. I didn't see anything, so I wasn't quite sure.
I did. So I did one this previous summer. I basically worked with a nonprofit with one of my college professors. She was able to just give me an internship with a nonprofit called Iowa Nice. So I just worked with her through the summer and kind of helped some people escape Ukraine during the war. I filled out some paperwork to get them over here. And if they were in like, you know, pretty high pressure and war torn areas. So I did a little bit of that, but I also did a big part of, we were the beneficiary of this golf tournament. And so I did like a event inside the golf tournament where we called it the Iowa Nice Bucket Challenge. It was just basically like an ALS ice bucket challenge, but instead of for the ALS patients, it was for like helping people from Ukraine get here as well. So I pretty much, I didn't like run the whole thing. I obviously had some help, but I organized a lot of it. I did a little bit of graphic design for it. And then I kind of set up the contest we had for it. Whoever like donated the most and got the most shares and whatever on social media would get a prize. And so I just kind of ran some of that, and that was my really marketing background that I was able to use for that. But also just kind of learning a lot about what the business world was like, how, you know, a nonprofit kind of can run and work. Some of those kind of things, a little work in, project management as well, which I think will be definitely a beneficial skill to, you know, put on some resumes and my LinkedIn. Definitely something that I have talked to with our core development program here at Augie has got to start updating some of those, especially with the load of free time I'm about to get with the season coming to an end.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you ever need help with a resume, I mean, I've been in that since 2007, so I can always help you with it if you ever need it. Well, lastly, you know, the last game of the schedule, you know, at home versus Illinois Wesleyan, you know, it's wide out, it's senior night. You know, as you think back about, you know, the career and kind of your 4 years, 4 years here, I mean, what's been some of the most memorable or kind of key moments in the last 4 years?
I want to say the first memory that comes to mind is we beat Wheaton my sophomore junior year. We beat them at their place when they were one of the top ranked teams. So I think it was my sophomore year. And that was a big game for us. Just kind of, we had been struggling, and that showed us that we were really capable still. We were able to beat, you know, a really high ranked team, and, you know, just that showing that we were capable. That's probably a pretty memorable game. Another one would be against, we played Wash U, I think my junior year, early on in the year, and they were the team that actually beat my brother in the national tournament at his school. So that was the first and only time we were ever able to play them. And that was a big game for me. I got to start that game, and I remember playing it. And I also remember it because I made a mistake at the end and got scored on to end up losing the game. So it's a bittersweet game, but it's one that I remember. And because of that, and now I could, you know, just the growth I made from that game since then. But then we had a house last year of all eight seniors. We all lived together. That was just, I mean, there's lots of memories in that house, all of us being together literally every single day and messing with each other, you know, pranking each other, being annoying to each other at times. so there's a lot of memories there as well, but, it's definitely been a memory filled 4 years, as most people who've been to college will tell you. It's going to be, you know, it's what you expect, and it goes by quick, just as everyone says it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it was 20 years, my 20 year reunions this homecoming, so makes me feel old. Well, Colton, 46 minutes. They've both been long today, so this is good. It's been an awesome conversation. But yeah, no, thanks again for joining me, you know, here on Sunday and kind of making some time. You know, you guys will be traveling down to Milliken on Saturday, so certainly good luck in Decatur. Again, it's another big win, and the Vikings are in the driver's seat, so to the conference tournament. But again, good luck Saturday, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you. We always love having the conversations and getting to reach out to some of the community members. It's something we all take some pride in as players, and we all really appreciate the support you guys put back into the program as well. So,
absolutely. Well, it's a ton of fun. You guys make it easy for us.
Good.
Take care.